The lesson that we're going to look at tonight is dealing with spiritual growth. And that spiritual growth, it's a choice. It doesn't happen overnight. And so as we go through this lesson, there's going to be a few things that's going to be repeated. And after a while, I think you will be repeating it also about spiritual growth is a choice. You know, there's many blessings that we enjoy in Christ. And not only the redemption that we have, but also a renewal. In baptism, we undergo a washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Titus 3, verse 5 says, He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. From this baptism, we rise to walk in newness of life. Romans 6:4 tells us, We were therefore buried with Him through baptism unto death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. This renewal we find in Christ involved the concept of spiritual growth. All of us in here started off as a little baby. But through the years, looking at myself, 71 years, I have hopefully grown physically. Maybe not healthy as I would like to be, but I've grown up because that is how things go. If you don't have any problems, you're going to grow. But a healthy spiritual life is a process of growth. And sadly, not all Christians grow spiritually. If you've been in the Lord's body over a period of time, you've seen people who are old, but they have not grown spiritually. Many have been Christians for many years with little change or improvement. For example, we teach the little kids the books of the Bible. And I remember when I first became a Christian, this was stressed to me. But for some reason, if I am forced to memorize something, it ain't going to work. It just does not work. You says you got to remember this, it's not going to work. But I found that the things that I do memorize is because it makes a whole lot of sense to me and is something that I want to do. And there are certain passages out of the Bible that I have memorized because it tells us what we need to do and why we need to do it. Now, failing to grow, those people, us, we become stagnated like a pool of water. Spiritual growth is a choice. It doesn't happen by default. Unlike physical growth, like I said, we've all had children, they have grown. You know, we would be concerned when our children who were babies did not grow. It's the same thing when we become Christians. If the individual does not grow spiritually, we should be concerned about them and to find out why. We should try to help them because if they don't grow spiritually, they will be lost. Now this spiritual growth, it only occurs if we choose to grow. Now, most of us, when we became Christians, we had a choice in what we wanted to do, what we wanted to learn. And if we didn't do it, someone should have been concerned. How come? Why? In my case, after learning what God required of me, I tried to learn everything I could about what God wanted to do, and to not be ashamed to do whatever it was that needed to be done. But there's a lot of people, they will give you an excuse that I can't do that. That's not in me. And hopefully God will accept that. Because what I have said many times before is that people who have all the degrees of the world and can stand up in front of millions of people and tell them about whatever their job is, but when it comes to teaching or telling someone about Christ, they say, I can't do it. You must remember, spiritual growth is a choice. It's a choice that we should make, and we should stick to it. It doesn't happen by laying down, waking up, or putting the Bible to your head and you think you got the information. It doesn't work that way. What we should be doing is encouraging one another to make the right choice in regarding spiritual growth. Now, this is something that will be going throughout the lesson, is that spiritual growth is a choice. And you know, it's commanded by God. What did God say? In the Great Commission, what did He tell His apostles to do? You know, we seem sometimes to think that the apostles were great men, in which they were. In the beginning, they didn't know much. But after Pentecost, they became bold in everything that they were doing. And we know that in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, Jesus told them this. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of ages. Now we say that that is also a command to us. And He wants us to go and to teach. And we have the Bible. It's not like we don't know what to say. Jesus commanded His apostles to make disciples. That's the same thing that what we should be striving to do, is try to make disciples. And teaching them that they must be baptized. And here's the one that the world seemed not to want to observe. Teaching them to observe all things He has commanded. And if you look at the religious world and their practices, they're doing everything in the world that we can't find in the Bible. We are told by Jesus in that commandment to teach. Now, will the disciples Or will the individuals be willing to be obedient to that teaching? Constantly growing as they learn and obey the Lord. Now, I have talked to many people in my short life. I've tried to share the Bible with them. And they were like what the Bible said. They were quick to hear, ready to jump into the water. And as time went by, they fell away. I believe they weren't willing to grow. They weren't willing to listen to what God's word said that they must do. And they fell away. And I pray that they will one day obey the words of God and come back to Him. Peter ends his second epistle with the command to grow. And we heard this morning. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. And the only way that we can grow in knowledge of Jesus is to study the Word of God. Now, we're told to grow in the grace. We are to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Peter also began his second epistle describing how we are to grow. And again, this was stated this morning. 2 Peter 1 and verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control preservation, and to persevering godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way that can be done is when we study, when we know. You know, coming here Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, and Wednesday, it's good to build us up, but the only way that we can really have that spiritual growth is on a constant studying of the Word of God during our days away from here. If you don't study your Bible only on Wednesday and Sunday, you're not growing the way you should. It's as simple as that. Now, adding to our faith with grace as virtue, knowledge, and self-control, we're going to be ready for everything that come our way. And we are to be abounding. We are to be fruitful. Now that fruitful is not necessarily going out there and getting people. That fruitfulness is the way we treat one another. And when we learn how to treat one another the way God wants, it implies growth. You know, I used to say that I was mad at God for this reason. He tells me that I must love my enemy. And that means anyone that I don't like, he says, I must love them. But I was saying that as a joke. God wants us to be like Christ and to love one another. And that also means those folks that's outside of the body of Christ. Because in Hebrews 5, which Roger read, he says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still in effort, is not acquitted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that leads to death and of faith. You know, I try to inform people, in this age, we have smartphones, computers, and there's all kinds of Bible programs out there. If you go to your particular Bible and you do studies, word studies, read it. Matter of fact, the YouVersion, it has an option which you can just listen to the Bible. You don't have to read it. You just listen. And if you can't do that, there's a problem. Everything is at our disposal that we can grow. We can listen to the Bible. And we can become stronger with the options of searching. We can search every word in the Bible to know what it means, what it is saying. There's vines, there's all kinds, it tells us the definition. We don't need to wait until somebody up here says this means this, that means that. We can do it ourselves, because first of all, how do you know that I'm telling you the truth? The only way you're going to know that is to know what the scriptures are teaching. Unlike spiritual growth, as I said, the physical growth is by default. We're going to grow. Now, there's no effort on our part to grow. We're going to grow. If we eat what we're supposed to, we do what we should do, we're going to grow. Maturity is something that's going to happen. But we must remember, just because we grow older, we're growing spiritually. It's not going to happen. And so, spiritual growth requires a concentrated effort. John 6:27. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal approval. Paul tells us in Philippians 2 in verse 12, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 3 and 13, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. 2 Peter 1:5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge. Therefore, my brethren, be not all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. Like the physical health, spiritual growth requires exercise. 1 Timothy 4:7, having nothing to do with godless myth, an old wives' tale, rather train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promises for both the present life and the life to come. Spiritual growth is not easy, but to achieve it, we have to put forth an effort, not only today, but tomorrow and always. When we try to teach somebody the truth and they get baptized, we have to stress to them that this is the beginning of that journey, and spiritual growth is a choice. Now, I don't know about you, but for the most part, many people who have obeyed the gospel, and I've tried to stress to them, let us study the Bible to help you grow. Now, I don't know about you, but the people that I have asked to study with, I have not gotten anything. And you know, sometimes those same individuals are going to be the ones that's going to fall away, because they're not growing spiritually. That's why when we come together to learn, to be built up. And the only way that can happen if we participate. Now, I know all of us is busy, but you know, we should not be too busy to study the Word of God with someone, especially when we're young, when we're young in the faith. I remember when Shirley and I were baptized, and one of the things that happened back then, we had a group of families that we met together and we studied. And it wasn't just a one-time good deal. It was over and over and over. And we grew. Everyone grew. But like anything else, things happened and it was dissolved. But that was the beginning of most of our growth, is that we studied together to learn, excuse me, to learn what the Bible was trying to tell us. And you know, God will be with you when you are studying, to help you, if that is your goal. We're not alone in our efforts. Philippians 2 and verse 12 tells us, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to the will and to work of his good pleasure. Titus 3:5 tells us this. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So, how do we become strong in the Lord? That is studying. That is knowing what he wants us to do. And when somebody is going against that, it is our job to stand up and to say, Now, Bo said something in Bible class, and it got me to thinking. And I'm going to reach out and try to talk to an individual back there in Rapid City and to see if I can encourage him and to see how they're doing. But it's our job to do what God says. And as Bo said, we're all Christians. And we're supposed to be trying to strengthen one another. Ephesians 3:16 says this, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner man. You know, most of us are cowards. We don't want to get involved. But you know, if you read your Bible and in Revelations, it tells us of all the people who will go to hell. And one of those individuals that will go to hell are the cowards. The one who refuses to stand up for Jesus. Because we says, I'm a Christian. I'm going to do what he says. But if we are not willing to stand up for Jesus because we're afraid of what somebody is going to say or how they're going to treat us. You know, suppose Jesus would have done that. You know, studying the Bible, Jesus came here for a purpose. And that purpose was to upset the apple cart. He came here to tell people what they were supposed to do and why. And he died for that. The apostles, the same thing. If they had not have said what they said, we would not have the records today to tell us what we need to do. And each case is something that we need to remember. For example, Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. You know, when you stand up for God, the devil is going to be coming after you through people. Because he does not want you to tell nobody how to be saved. Ephesians 4, verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness in Christ. You know, God, he blesses those who do his will. Now, we may say that I am doing the will of God. But if you honestly look at yourself and say, am I? How is my spiritual life? Am I growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Only we can answer that. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith unto this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. This spiritual growth, excuse me, it requires a constant study of the Word of God. Now I know when you're working, you don't have time to do all the things that you would love to do for the Lord. But like I said, I don't believe that there's nobody in here that does not have a smartphone with a Bible app that will read to you. I don't know how far you have to go to work, but you know, when you get in your car in the morning, what do you do? Do you turn on the radio to your favorite station? Do you put a CD in it? You could just as well use that Bible app to read to you the Word of God. I used to travel 50 miles to work one way, and I did have Bible CDs, and I would listen. And you'd be surprised what you will learn by listening and not really concentrating. It just sinks in and it just tells you what the book of this means or whatever it is. And that's going to help you to grow. We want to be victorious in this life. But you know, if we're successful, we will be victorious in that afterlife. John 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The only way we're going to know that is by reading, studying the Word of God. And Revelations verse 13 tells us this. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deed will follow them. You know, what we do is going to follow us. Are we going to do nothing? Or are we going to do everything in our power to try to do what God says? And we must remember that the more we try, it doesn't mean the more people are going to listen, because that's up to them. But our job is to sow the seed and sow the seed and sow the seed and be ready when somebody else who sowed the seed come our way and ask us, what must I do? And you know, I personally don't want to ever hear somebody say, well, I would tell my preacher and he would tell you what to do. I don't want to hear that. And I will never say that to somebody is, let's go to my preacher. No, I'm not going to do it. Because God requires of me and everyone else, a Christian, to know the Word of God, to teach somebody how to be saved. And if we don't know how to do that, then we have not grown spiritually. Excuse me. You know, our hearts should inform us to grow spiritually so we can be mature Christians. But then again, God tells us this. He doesn't want us to forget it. He says in Matthew 13:15, "For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I will heal them." That can be us. We can fall into that trap. We can't just say, well, that's how the world is. We can do the same thing. Matthew 24:12 tells us, "And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold." God is saying that the world loves lawlessness. Many of them are going to do it, but our job is to constantly be prepared to teach somebody the gospel. And the only way we can do that is to grow spiritually, because it's a choice. You remember, excuse me, there's a scripture that I always try to remind myself, is Galatians 6:9. And it says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." You know, if you talk to 1,000 people, you do everything that you think you can do, and we say, "Well, nobody's going to listen. Why am I even trying?" That's not the point. The point is, we ought to do it because somewhere, somehow, somebody is going to come to you and want to know the truth. And so he's saying, let us not grow weary in doing good. Doing good is always waiting for that one person to show up. If they don't show up, you're still doing your job. Thessalonians 3:13 says to us again, "As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good." So, only you can ask yourself this question and answer it. Am I growing spiritually? Am I doing everything in my power to know what the will of God is? Because if you're doing that, you will not grow weary in the Lord. And we need to remember this. Jesus said this. He said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's what we need to be trying to teach people. But we can only do that if we have grown spiritually. And like I said, if you have not, I would suggest that you start today to grow spiritually. Because if not, when you meet God And I know he's not going to ask, "Well, why did you do this? Or why did you do that?" He's going to already know why you did or why you didn't. And it will be too late for you to try to say, "Let me have another opportunity." That opportunity is right now as we live and breathe. And so, I would suggest, let us grow spiritually. Let us learn what the Word of God says. And starting Monday, forever, is for us to know what the Bible says and what it means. If there's anyone here that needs anything of this congregation, we ask that you make it known as we stand and sing.